Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We all need it, and today is a great day. We have a great program, lighthearted, encouraging. I know a lot of times we cover really serious, heavy topics, but you know, in light of all of the news cycle, we need something that's encouraging, and today's episode is for grandparents. But before I get to that, let me remind you, on Monday, we had Tim Todd from Truth for Youth. That organization is giving away free Bibles to teens who are in need of them, who can go to school. It gives them guidance on life issues, as well as an entire version of the New Testament, and delivered even in comic form, which we know that kids need that visual content. We have a goal of 60,000 Bibles to give away, and we're at about a third of the way there, which we're almost about halfway through the week. So let's up that up a little bit. There are two ways that you can contribute and to give so that a child can get a free Bible to take to school with them. You can go to TFY, that stands for Truth for Youth, TFY.org, and order online anytime. Or if you want to call and talk to somebody, you can do that between 8:30 and 4:30 Central Time at 844-530-8890. That is 844-530-8890 Central Time. Also, don't forget, Friday is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. You can write in with your questions. You can email at info@drnursemama.com, or you can go to my website, drnursemama.com, submit your questions. We try to answer as many questions as we get on every Friday. And I'll be talking about this week's healthy habit. We have been focusing on safety for the month, having good, safe practices so that we can be safe and live long, healthy lives for our families. And this week will be the last week of that. We'll talk about car safety. So you won't want to miss it. I'm going to answer all of your questions, which there's so many. I'll try to do my best on car seat safety. And how long does a kid need to sit in a booster? And when can they sit in the front seat? And what about those teen drivers? And what can we do that really is going to keep them safe? So you won't want to miss it. But today is for all the grandparents. Listen, we love grandparents here on the show. You know, if you're a regular listener, about my own granny and how she inspired my book, Behind Closed Doors. That keyhole on the cover represents the key that she gave me to a new life. I truly believe that grandparents have such potential for amazing influence. And I know that even though my grandmother went on to be with Jesus last fall, that she is waiting there for me. And I know that she has had such an impact on my life. And we're going to talk to another grandmother today. Her grandkids call her Grandma Mac. We have Elaine McAllister with us today. She is an award-winning journalist, a columnist, a ghostwriter, a speaker, and she is an author of 7 books. She and her husband, Jim, live in the middle of Kansas near their grown children and grandchildren. She is a passionate grandma, a family historian, and she equips others to celebrate grandparenting. That's the book we'll be talking about today. And when she's not playing with words, she can be found thrifting, traveling, spending time with her family, or talking with us here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show on American Family Radio. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Elaine, we're so happy to talk with you because there are so many grandparents who are so great and do a lot of wonderful things. And there are a lot of grandparents I know listening who are looking for creative things to do with their grandkids. And even if we don't have grandparents who are doing this, you have some great ideas that parents could do this. Or if kids don't grandparents, get some adoptive grandparents. That's a great way to have the church get involved. Well, Elaine, I would love for you to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, how you came to know the Lord and have such a heart for grandparenting.
Okay, well, I was fortunate to have been raised by wonderful Christian parents who taught me about Jesus from day one, I'm sure, and received the Lord as my Savior early on, and have been living a life for him ever since, and it just gets better and better with each day and year. That's my story.
And how did you come to write a book about grandparenting?
Well, I was working, and every weekend it seems like I had fun with my grandkids, and I'd come back to work, and I'd tell the gals that I worked with, you know, I'd show them pictures and say, I did this, and we did this, and we went here, and they kept saying to me, how do you come up with all these ideas? And I thought, as a fairly new grandmother, I thought that's just what we were supposed to do, and I soon learned that not all grandparents, even though they're great grandparents and they love their grandkids, they didn't have, I guess, so many creative ideas as I had access to. And that comes from a long time of being involved in children's ministries, VBS, Sunday school, 4-H programs. I had done a lot of things with children, and I also early on worked in a school, so I was around children a lot, and so a lot of these ideas I had just gathered over the years, and most of the ideas that are in my grandparent book are ones that I have done with my own kids, and now I've done them with my grandkids. So anyway, I learned that not all people had the ideas. They had the want to, but they didn't have the ideas. So I started putting together a little booklet, and that booklet turned into a book. And in 2019, this book was published, and I'm thrilled. It's been very, very well received.
Absolutely, because I caught that you published it in 2019. And Elaine, I feel like anytime we say this happened in 2019, it should be followed by dun, 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 you know, because we all know that was right before COVID. But what a great time to have activities together. And I can relate. I'm not a grandparent yet, but I can relate to that grandma who wants to do fun things but doesn't know how, because that's how I feel when I go to my kids' stuff at school and the Pinterest mom is there. And I'm thinking, oh, do I need to run across the street to the dollar store and like get pencils to hand out? I know that you worked so, you know, long to make my these little candy trains. That's what my sister-in-law does for me. We call her Aunties 911. So I'll call her to be all creative and give me the ideas. So I love that you've given all of the ideas. It's like Pinterest for grandparents. And you know, Elaine, I know that as parents become grandparents and you enter that phase of life and you are in the retirement phase, a lot of people feel like maybe things are winding down, you know, or you're being less active, or, you know, you're not sure like what the rest of your life. How have you found purpose in grandparenting?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. I absolutely adore my grandchildren. I have five biological and four bonus grandchildren. So 9 grandkids now. You know, I guess I find purpose in that maybe I can do more for my grandkids than I did for my own kids. I feel like I've learned over the years, and I try to instill in them the values that I think they will need later in life. And sometimes we don't know all of those things, even as grandparents, we don't. But especially as parents, when we're parenting, life is so busy. And when we're grandparenting, we can reflect a little bit more, I think, on what's important.
Absolutely. I think that is so important. And just to be able to share, you know, your faith and the lessons that you've learned. And I'm sure, Elaine, that, you know, life has not always been easy. I'm sure you've had your own fair share of challenges, but you are also, you talk about yourself as being a family historian. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have always treasured family history and ancestors and ancestor stories. And my brother, who happens to be more on the data end of that, is a genealogist in his retirement and quite a successful one. And I focus more on the stories of my ancestors. And in fact, my last book was just written, just came out early this summer. And it's a story about my grandmother, who in 1913 took off by train from Mankato, Kansas, and took a year out of the classroom. She was a pioneer school teacher, and she went to Idaho, Oregon, and California and stayed with cousins and aunts and uncles, and just took a year out of the classroom and had an adventure. And so I used her journal as a impetus for that, and I did research on the different places she visited in the era, and then I added family history and family photos to that and came up with a mini memoir, I call it, for my grandmother.
I think that's so special. I would love to have something like that with my great-grandmother. You know, I read somewhere, I think it was on your website, where you said that oral history is generally passed down for about two or three generations. And then after that, it's really lost. And I think about how many stories there are with my own grandmother, you know, walking through her house after she had passed away and looking at so many pictures, so many objects. And then, as you know, there were some photos that were posted, some other relatives would say, oh, you know, we bought that little chest at a craft fair when we went traveling to San Francisco or something like that. And I would think, I didn't even know you did that. Like, I want to know all these stories. So what a gift for you to be able to do that. I think that's really super, super special. Well, in your book, Celebrating Grandparenting, you have seven different ways to celebrate. And I'd like to just take some time just to walk through some of those. Your first section is celebrating with crafts. Now, this would definitely speak to a lot of kids I know, including my own. And you know, Elaine, crafts are coming back. Like, teenagers think crafts are cool. Like, they love to do crafts. So what are some of your favorite crafts that you've done and some of that you feature in the book?
Oh, goodness. I have some that I have done and that have been fun. And I keep the supplies on hand. And when my grandkids come over, sometimes we just grab something and do something impromptu, which is fun. So I've done a craft with the button magnets that you can buy, just a little round button magnet, and then using maybe grandma's button box and stacking buttons. You can't use shank ones. You have to use the ones that are flat, but you can stack them by color or by size, or and then put a shank one on the middle on the top to stick out and make wonderful magnets. All it takes is a hot glue gun and some buttons and a magnet. I've also done magnets with the glass gems that a lot of people use in in the tops of planters for decoration. You can see through those, especially the clear ones. And so you can take an old hymnal or an old Dick and Jane book and cut out a word that speaks to you or a phrase from a hymn and put that on the back side of it with Elmer's glue, which will clear, it dries clear, and then put a magnet on that, and you have magnets for your fridge. Or one of my very favorite, this is a favorite of a lot of kids that I've done over the years with VBS and my own kids and my grandkids, and there's a page of reproducibles in my book that you can use, but you color darkly on any small coloring sheet, and then you flip it over to the back side, and you take a cotton ball soaked in vegetable oil, rub it across the back side of the paper that is colored, and let it dry. You might have to wipe it off a little bit with a paper towel to get the excess oil off, but what it does is it makes that paper almost disappear, and then when you cut out the colored portion, it looks like stained glass. And you can put it in the window and you can teach your children. There's a little story in my book too about the 12th century father of stained glass from Paris and how he believed church windows were colored, they allowed light to pour through the windows, and
I love it. I'm going to hold you right there, Elaine, because we're up against a break. But oh, that just sings to my soul. My granny did a bunch of stained glass. That was her hobby that she had with her friends that she had. And I have several treasures that she's made for me. I love that idea. We'll have plenty more ideas, especially for those of you who may be far away or looking to help him back to school. Don't go away. We'll be back with more from Elaine McAllister. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. That is Good God Almighty by Crowder. And God is good. No matter where you are in your family stage, in your family life, in your status of family relationships, God is good. And I am personally convicted that kids today need grandparents more than they ever have. Grandparents have such a unique perspective on the world, and grandparents actually are not as connected to technology as kids are, which is a great thing because they can teach them old school social skills. They know how to sit down at a table and to have a meal without a phone present. They know how to go on a walk without having to look at everything through the lens of a smartphone. They can just enjoy each other's company, enjoy the conversation that they're having. I really believe that kids need a generation who has time. A lot of times parents are really busy. We're trying to put food on the table. We're trying to get everybody, like I am, to the orthodontist, to the well-child sports physical, to all of those things that need to be done, all of the business of raising children and just keeping food and shelter for them, whereas grandparents have the joy of investing time. Now, our guest today is Elaine McAllister, and she is the author of a book called Celebrate Grandparenting. And she is a grandma. She's a family historian. She has 9 grandkids, I think is what she said, if I got that number right. And they call her Grandma Mac. Yes. And Elaine, we're so glad to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Now, listen, we may have some listeners, Elaine, who are thinking, I am not a grandparent. I'm not even close to that stage. Or, you know, my grandkids are older, maybe. Maybe they're really grown. But let's talk to some families who are in some different life stages and how this might apply to them. You and I were just talking in the break about grandparents who are now raising their own children. We just looked up the statistic. It's about 3 million children in the United States who are currently being raised by their grandparents. And this social trend has been called grand families, which I think is really precious, actually. I love that, grand families. So what about those grandparents who are now raising their grandchildren and thinking, oh my goodness, do I have the energy for this? And what if things didn't go well the first go around? How am I going to do here? What encouragement would you give them?
That's a good point to make. There are so many families that are that skip a generation like that, and the grandparents have been put into the role of parenting again their grandchildren. I've seen that. My daughter is a teacher, and I've seen that in her, among her students at her school, so often. And that's it's a heavy role, because here we thought we were done raising kids, and now we're experiencing child rearing all over again. And it's a little bit different on a lot of levels, from discipline to energy to activities. And so we first of all, we need to applaud those grandparents who have stepped up to raise their grandchildren. But there are several ideas in this grandparenting book that I wrote that you know, can be done in the home like that with grandparents raising their grandchildren too. On the other extreme, there are grandparents who are far away from their grandchildren. And so there's a section in the book about raising long-distance grandparenting, I guess I should call it, where you're not with your grandparent or your grandchildren and you don't get to see them often, but you can still celebrate grandparenting long-distance.
Let's talk about that. Let's dive into that. We're skipping ahead a little. That's section 5 of your book, but I'm here for it. I'm good with
it.
And I think this is really hard. And we saw this, you know, honestly, Elaine, this was really hard for me as a nurse during COVID because we had all this guidance saying, stay away from your grandkids and grandkids who were really scared to go and visit their grandparents because they were told you could get them sick. They could go to the hospital. They could even die. And then we had grandparents who were afraid, you know, sometimes to be around their grandkids. We just didn't know anything. But in the meantime, there was a generation of kids who missed out on seeing their grandparents. So it may be that, you know, just that social distancing that happened and then even long distancing. But regardless of wherever you are, and I do think it is absolutely best for grandparents and grandkids to be together as much as possible in person. And when that's not possible, we do have some long distance creativity that's available to us through technology. So give us some of your favorites from that section, Elaine.
That's right. Okay. Well, first of all, the technology has made it much easier to span the miles between FaceTime or Zoom or the other wonderful things that we can do online to connect with our grandkids. But don't forget the U.S. mail, the postal service. In the book and in my own experience, I have taken advantage of the mail. And even though my grandkids are all probably within 35 miles of where we live, I would often send a card. And in that card, I would write them a note personalized to them, their interests, what I knew they were involved in, if I knew they had a concert coming up or a finals week coming up, I would address that and say, hey, I'm praying for you. But then I'd also enclose a little note or a little decoration thing that they could put on their bulletin boards. In fact, that's another thing that I did for each of my grandkids one Christmas was I bought five bulletin boards and I decorated them and I put their names in different lettering and different colors and I got fancy bulletin board thumbtacks and gave each one of the kids a bulletin board because I knew I was going to be sending them little cards and notes and I wanted them to have a place to display those and keep my words of encouragement in front of them.
I love that. That is such a great idea. And you have a bunch of other ones. I mean, there are, I'm looking at this counting like probably at least a dozen right here that are there. Yeah. What is the Sunday Fun Day?
Sunday Fun Day. Let me find that one. Just
page 103. I'm right there. I know. See, I got all the questions. Diving all in. You got my attention with ice cream.
Right. Mine too. Okay. So say your grandkids are 500 miles away from you and you can't take them out for an ice cream cone or something. Well, go to, I don't want to mention any stores, but go to your local discount store or whatever and find some cute, fun plastic cups in colorful, colorful cups or something like that and put together a party in a box and fill it with Sunday cups or, you know, and some of them have spoons too. You can buy ice cream sets with a spoon that matches and send them some napkins and send them a cake mix in a box. And anything that's unperishable, you can put in a box and send through the mail. And then you call them. You say you have to go buy your own ice cream because I can't send that. But then you call them and you say, hey, are you having an ice cream party tonight? You know, I am too. Grandpa and I are having ice cream where we live. I hope you enjoy yours. It's just a fun way to span the miles but give them a gift that they will always remember. This came from Grandma and Grandpa, and we didn't get to spend the time together to eat ice cream, but we had an ice cream party across the mile.
I love it. There's other things where you've sent them a movie box. It would be so fun to watch the same movie, you know, even if you're away from each other, and then have a talk about that. But it's funny, Elaine, you keep talking about the U.S. mail. Now, here's where, you know, we have to say that kids today, the only thing they know about the mail is that maybe Amazon packages come through the mail, you know, but they don't use the mail very much. But this is what we know about Gen Z and Gen Alpha, the new generations of kids. They love things that they see as vintage or retro. And so that would include the U.S. mail, handwriting, which is considered novel because some kids don't even learn cursive. But to, get a box in the mail, super exciting. Like, kids would absolutely love that. So sending regular packages can be a great way to connect with your grandkids across the miles. Well, Elaine, let's talk about a different kind of grandparenting because, again, you know, we may have listeners who are saying, don't have grandkids. I may never have grandkids. The closest thing I've got is a grand dog, you know, maybe they're in that stage of life. But really, I think you and I would both encourage people who are at a life stage that maybe they are grandparenting age, but they're not grandparents. There are a lot of kids who don't have grandparents. Maybe they've passed away. Maybe there's relationship brokenness, family brokenness. Maybe those grandparents are not healthy to be around, you know, maybe they're not good influences. True. That can happen. Uh-huh. How would you encourage people who have never thought about maybe adopting some grandkids, proverbially speaking, you know, maybe through their church or through their neighborhood? How would that work?
I think that's a great idea. In fact, I've seen that happen in churches and I've seen that happen in schools. If you are at all involved in a school, and I was a school secretary at one time, and like I said, my daughter is a teacher, I have seen when they have Grandparents Day and there are two or three or four or five little kids that don't have anybody come to see them on that day, and the other kids are surrounded by doting grandparents. Well, the easy way to solve that problem on both levels is call your local school and say, are there kids there that don't have grandparents? And can you let me know when I can come and be a supportive grandparent to a child or two or three children? That's one way you can do it. Also, like I said, I've seen it in the church where they have intergenerational activities, but there are some children that are always left out because they don't have the support at home or they don't have grandparents nearby. So that's a great way for anyone to get involved. You can also do that in your neighborhood. If you are aware that the children across the street from you don't have grandparents for one reason or another, get involved. Be their adoptive grandparents.
And you can read your book for 101 ideas on how to intentionally connect. And I would just encourage people listening to think about that and to look around, because I know that it can be really hard for a parent whose kids don't have a grandparent. There can be a sense of guilt there. There can be a sense of just of grief that goes along with that. Right. And it can be really hard to walk up to an older couple and say, hey, I really like you and you'd be great for my kids. Like, can you spend time with them?
Right.
That is really, you think about that, that is awkward. And if they say no, it just feels like such another letdown. But if you were to be bold, if you were to say, hey, we would love to come to Tommy's baseball games. Hey, we would love to come to Susie's dance recitals or whatever that is. Like, we would love to just come and watch and support them and then start to cultivate a relationship. You know, if they say, no, we don't want you to come, well, then that's a little bit easier. You can just go along that way. But I think it's much harder for parents to ask than not. And so I would just encourage it. I know so many kids, Elaine, who just don't have those grandparents, and seeing my own kids at Grandparents Day and having, you know, them sit with nobody coming. Oh, it really does hurt. So I think, you know, whether you do that through the school, your neighborhood, your church, whatever organization you can find, there are lots of mentorship places that you can do that we've talked about on the show before. But one of the places that kids are going back to school is back to school right now. And that can be hard because sometimes kids may visit their grandparents during the summer, but then, you know, they go back to school. But you never fear, Elaine, because you have back to school ideas. So talk through some of these back to school ideas you have.
Okay. Well, one of them is to have a back to school breakfast in your neighborhood, or if you want to do it with your own grandkids, if they're nearby, invite your grandkids and invite them to invite maybe their best friends and have a back to school breakfast. That you usually do it like the day before or the week before school starts, and have them there early enough, tell them they have to dress in school clothes and they have their backpack with them and everything as if today was the first day of school. And then have them come for a breakfast, maybe in your garage, set up tables, or maybe on in your front yard. I've seen this done by a local family. They've done it for years and years, and it became a neighborhood thing. And then you get them out the door at the time that if the bell was ringing, they would be on their way to school by the time the bell was going to ring. So you can give them a little token roll of Smarties, the candies, to tell them to be smart at school. You're going to learn. You give them, serve them milk in the little milk cartons that they'll get in the lunch line, and talk about the school year coming and making it a great one.
There are a lot of other ideas that you have, including, you know, making a class of whatever that graduating year is shirt. And these are so cute. I've seen these before, too, where that you get a really big T-shirt and they start it off in kindergarten and they wear that every year up until they graduate. And you just get to see how much they grow. And that is super, super special. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about back to school, Elaine, and kids who are going back to school right now. It's just very different than when we grew up. They have screens in their face all the time. There's cyberbullying. There is all kinds of threats. They have lockdown drills, things that we didn't have before. And having that presence of their grandparents is so, so, so important. Well, when we come back, I want to ask you more about your relationship with your kids, Elaine, and how we can really nurture that to nurture a good relationship with our grandkids. And some of my listeners are going to be very upset with me and some are going to cheer, but I'm going to ask you about Christmas. Can't let that opportunity go. I absolutely love Christmas and you have some great ideas. So now's the time to plan, y'all. We'll be right back with Elaine McAllister.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Welcome back, friends. That is Run to the Father by Cody Carnes. And today, We are running to the grandfather and the grandmother. We are talking about the art of grandparenting and just the beautiful gift that it is and how much your grandkids need you. We're talking to Elaine McAllister. She's the author of the book Celebrate Grandparenting, where she's given all of us 101 ideas for connecting with our kids and grandkids. And Elaine, before the break, we were talking about back to school. And one of the ideas that you have in here, it's number 33 to be exact, is something called the blessing of the backpack. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. That usually takes place at the back to school breakfast that I mentioned a little bit ago. And it's just I encourage the kids to, when they come to back to school breakfast, to bring their backpack too, because they're preparing for the first day, getting everything, getting all their ducks in a row and being ready. But the other reason for that is to have a time of prayer with those kids to remind them that, to give them a different way to look at the school year. We pray for the students. We pray for their classmates. We pray that bullying isn't a situation. We pray that our kids, our grandkids, will make an impact in some way. We pray for the office staff and the janitors and everybody that they will encounter in their school days. And we just ask God to bless the kids and all of their supplies that they're taking with them to school, just to bless them with a good year ahead.
I think that's a beautiful idea. And, you know, having four kids myself, having worked as a school nurse for a long time and been in and around schools, I know that backpacks are with kids all day, every day. You know, most kids are going to be particular about what color they want. And that backpack is basically a part of their body for the whole year.
Right.
And they carry it around with them. They grab it and it goes in the car to school. It goes with them all throughout the school day. What a beautiful opportunity for them when they carry that backpack to have the visual image of their parents or their grandparents or whoever the caring adults are in their life, laying their hands on those backpacks and praying for
them.
And saying the blessing of the backpack that is literally going to be on their back. They can carry those prayers around with them all day long. I mean, honestly, that gives me goosebumps to think about, think about those kinds of things. You know, I think about how much my kids, you know, will have, especially when they're younger, how many fears they'll have in going to school. And I would pray for them, but to pray over their backpack and have them walk in with that, I just absolutely love that. And, you know, not just little kids, Elaine, you and I were just talking about you being in a different life stage and you have a grandchild about to go to college. And that's been really different. Tell us what you've learned from this season.
It is a little bit different. The first one to call me, Grandma Mac, is heading to college in 3 more days, and the time has flown. I can't believe that it's gone by as quickly as it has. But just as kindergartners have fear about going to school for the first time, our college freshmen have fear too. Maybe they're going far away from home, or maybe they're going just around the corner to the community college next door. In any case, it's a new season and they're stepping out of their comfort zone. But not only is that an opportunity for us as grandparents to pray and encourage that student, but it's also an opportunity for us to pray and encourage our own children who are the parents of those college students that are going off to college, because that's a tough time for the parents just as much as it is for the kids. There are tears shed on both sides of that family.
That is so true. And, you know, I think about that. This is a really important element of being a good grandparent. Is it's really hard to be a good grandparent and have a good relationship with your grandkids if you don't have a good relationship with your kids. Now, sometimes that is beyond the control of the grandparents. They want that, but for reasons beyond their control, it might be unrepentant sin or, you know, other situations that are just completely beyond their control. But as much as it depends on us to live peaceably with others, I imagine that that's hard. And Elaine, I'll tell you, when I first had my babies and my mother-in-law was keeping my babies when I was going back to work part-time as a nurse, I'm going to be really honest. And I don't even know if I've ever said this to her, but if I'm really honest, Elaine, I was a little jealous of her. Because my kids were so excited to see her. You know, they would just run to the door. They would, and then they would tell me, like, I would sit here and feel guilty about going to work. And they'd say, Mama, when are you going to leave? Go, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mama. Go, bye-bye. Because they wanted to be spoiled. And it took me a while to really accept that as the gift that it was. What a gift it was that I could walk out the door. I could go do a nursing shift. I could take care of other people's kids and their families, help them. Knowing my kids were safe, they were loved, they were happy, that can be really hard. And each one of our kids are different. As I'm looking forward, you know, I'm thinking, I know my kids' houses are going to look vastly different. You know, they each have different gifts. They each have different personalities. What have you learned in supporting your kids and nurturing, you know, doing all these great things with your grandkids, but doing that in concert with the with your kids as their parents?
Right. That's an important thing to consider. And our children do have different personalities, whether we have two or 10. And so we kind of, as the adult in the family, as the grown-up, the matriarch, the patriarch, we kind of have to pay attention to that and watch the boundaries. And the boundaries are not ours to set, as much as grandparents, as they are in the hands of the parents. The parents set the boundaries, and we have to step back and respect those boundaries. Perhaps they don't want to do this, or they don't have time to do this, or we think it's important and they don't. That's their choice. This is their family now, and we are as grandparents to support them, but also to allow them to parent. And that's sometimes a thing that we as grandparents have to learn.
That is really hard. And I just encourage grandparents out there, if you are struggling, if you're on the struggle bus with that, just, I don't have that perspective yet as a grandparent, but I do have that perspective as a mom. And I remember those insecurities. And so if we can just put ourselves in each other's shoes. And thankfully, Elaine, my mother-in-law was so gracious to recognize that those tensions, those were not a criticism of her. They were a manifestation of my own insecurity, thinking, are you going to do this better than me? And they're going to love you more than me. And then I'm going to fail because I'm already insecure about my relationship with my mom. And now I think you're going to do it better than me. So I'm not sure how much I really want you to be here. I'm so embarrassed to look back and say it now, but that is how it is. And one of the things that's most important, yes, is conversations. And I want to end on this. Section 7 of your book is celebrating with conversations. And I think these conversations are great, whether for your kids or your grandkids. And I want to read, actually, what you've written here. You say, today's obsession with electronic devices and social media actually hinders personal communication. This is Jessica's amen right here inserted, okay? Especially across generational lines. In this world of instant information, constant news feeds, and viral videos, it takes intentionality to share memories with the younger generations. It is your hope, Elaine, that this section will motivate and give people tools to lead meaningful and fun-filled conversations. And then you went on to write this. This really made me think. When you were a child, do you remember hearing stories told by your elders? I do. When my aunts and uncles gathered at my grandparents' home, there was always delightful chatter about the good old days, which didn't always sound that good to me. Unfortunately, some of life's best lessons are learned by looking backwards. History is a great teacher, but untold stories have no value. And Elaine, I think this is so important because even in conversations in households with parents, what we're seeing is a lack of conversation because that void is so often filled by streaming. We constantly have something streaming, whether it is, I don't even know if I can say Alexa, like, because I feel like it's going to trigger my my device in here. That happened to me yesterday with a Siri. Okay, all right, I don't want to make it come on, right? But I mean, we have so many options for streaming, and even parents and kids who are in the same house. So that, you know, you may have a kid watching a cartoon on an iPad and a parent watching the news on their laptop and a teenager streaming music, and they're not talking. They're not having conversation. So I love these ideas that you have for initiating that conversation intentionally. What the first one that you have is just open-ended questions to help you to tell your own story. So how did you do that?
Well, it helps us, but it also helps the grandkids. I have learned that my grandkids, I try to take advantage of every single opportunity to interject something of value. So I might ask them an open-ended question. Oh goodness, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but, or I might ask them, you know, do you want me to tell you a little bit about this grandmother that was a teacher when she grew up? Or I can also use opportunities like, you know, you get in the car and you run to the grocery store. Well, take advantage of that time. Don't let them plug into technology.
Amen.
But let them plug into something that you're going to talk to them about. You know, you've got a captive audience in the car, so discuss something of value.
You know, I did this with actually with my grandmother, she had wanted to go to the theater to see a musical like on Broadway. And she had some physical impairments and we were able to take her. And my son was in elementary school at the time. And we prepared some of these questions, many of these questions, like much like what you have in your book. And my son, during intermission and in the car ride there and the car ride back, he interviewed her. And we prepared these questions and then he interviewed her. And it was so absolutely precious. And so then I didn't know that I was going to do this, and I hope I can do this without crying. But she wrote him a thank you note to thank him for interviewing her. So some of what she said was, she wrote to him, my dear sweet grandson, what a wonderful surprise to get your sweet letter, because he had written her one. And she said, some of my best memories are taking care of you when you were little. And then she said, I enjoyed our interview. We had so much fun just talking. I am so proud of you and your schoolwork, and I cannot believe that you are as old as you are. I love talking about my life. When I talk about my childhood, it helps me to remember again what life was like back then and the wonderful things the Lord has done for me. You will have to excuse, and then she tells me, excuse her bad writing because she had had a stroke at that time. But I have that letter and it's precious. And so some of the questions that you have in here as prompts are saying, tell me about your siblings. Who was the oldest, the youngest, the smartest, the naughtiest? That I want to know. I have some questions about that. Or, you know, were your parents strict? How were you punished when you were a child? What do you wish you'd learned earlier in life? How old were you when you got your first car, your first TV, your first cell phone? Did you always have electricity and indoor plumbing? Telling me about meeting or falling in love with their grandchild. What was my mom like as a child? Tell me something about my child that way. So good. And you have so many other things. I love that you have some trivia, like little known facts that grands can use to stump their friends. That is so fun. And I'm just going to say a couple of these because I know my husband is going to want to use these as like dad credit even. So, which grows faster, your fingernails or your toenails? Well, actually, your fingernails grow four times faster. Did you know camels have three sets of eyelids to protect from blowing sand? What weighs more, a hummingbird or a penny? Did you know your eyes are full size at birth, but your nose and your ears continue to grow? Did you know that tigers have stripes on their fur, but also on their skin? Skunks can spray as much as 10 feet away. I can see kids really, really loving this, Elaine. Yeah. Like, these are great ways to connect. Well, listen, friends, we are at the end of our time together, but I hope we've encouraged all of you who are grandparents, who are going to be grandparents, whether that is through you know, the families that God has given you biologically, or whether that is through the families that God has, that you will adopt through God's family. You can go to ElaineMcAllister.com for more information on her book, Celebrate Grandparenting, 101 Ideas to Intentionally Connect with Your Grands. Well, listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and may he give you peace. Until we come back together, I'll be right here tomorrow. We are going to have a great show about praying for our kids going back to school. You definitely will not want to miss it. We're going to talk to Sally Burke, president of Moms in Prayer. I'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.